Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
The hills are alive. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Jason, have you seen The Sound of Music?
I have not.
Really?
I actually have not seen it. Obviously, I'm very familiar with it culturally. And it's one of those things where I was like, oh, I need to watch this. And people are like, I can't believe you haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, I don't know when the right time to watch it. So I haven't found the right time to watch it. If it's like a seasonal thing or whatever, but I do need to see it. The problem is I've only been alive for over 50 years, so I haven't gotten the chance.
Yeah. Who has the time to watch an iconic
movie?
Me,
I do. But
an Oscar award-winning, Tony-nominated film and musical. I think people who haven't seen it have a sense. It's so in the zeitgeist of things that you understand what it's all about. And it's almost like, in some ways, you have time because you kind of already are familiar with it.
Yeah.
You know? Well, you may want to watch it after we do this episode because today we're talking about the history of the Von Trapp house, one you might not realize has much more to it than the history of the iconic film. We'll talk about how the movie changed the fate of the house, its enduring identity through fame, Nazi-occupied Switzerland, and even some supernatural forces. Today on Ghost Town, the rise, fall, and rise again of Villa Von Trapp. Just in case, a little history of the film for you, for all of us, that inspired all of this. The Sound of Music is a 1965 musical drama that you might remember from key iconic moments. Julie Andrews singing in the Bavarian Hills, or perhaps the Von Trapp family all lined up by height in matching outfits. Lederhosen, I think, if my memory serves me correctly. In essence, The Sound of Music is about Maria Von Trapp's experiences as governess to 7 Austrian children, her eventual marriage with their father, Captain Georg Von Trapp, and their collective escape out of Austria during World War II. The movie is based on the musical by Rodgers and Hammerstein, which is based on a memoir by the actual Maria Von Trapp. I did not know that. In the memoir, The Story of the Trapp Family, published in 1949, Maria Von Trapp shares her story, which is actually pretty similar to the movie. Here's a brief synopsis. Maria Augusta Kutschera is a schoolteacher at the Nonnberg Abbey in Salzburg, where she's hired by Georg Von Trapp to tutor his 7 children after their mother passes away. Kutschera says yes, moves in, and while doing so, she takes an interest in the family's love of singing and music. Of course, the Von Trapp children and Kutschera grow incredibly close, and Georg loves it, eventually falling in love with Maria. She accepts and says in the book, not because she's madly in love with Georg, but because she loves his children so much. The couple gets married in 1927, and Kutschera officially becomes Maria Von Trapp, and now lives in Villa Von Trapp not as an employee, but as a part of the family. As a note, the Villa Von Trapp itself is not the palace that is in the film. It's a large 22-room historic home, really, built in 1863. Georg Von Trapp and his children moved there in 1924 following the death of his first wife. So at first, the Von Trapps, now with new wife Maria, live a life of hardship as Austria hits a bad recession. quote, "Our family was a wealthy family, but with the economic crisis, the money disappeared and everyone had to go to work," said Rosemary Von Trapp, one of the youngest of the Von Trapps, in a later interview. "At first, we had a chicken farm and we sold eggs, and afterward, we opened up our house in Salzburg to guests. Finally, we started performing and we kept on doing that for 30 years. The shows became the family's main and sole source of income. Since father was shy, mother was the one who promoted our concerts. We sang without microphones then. It was another time period." By the mid-1930s, the Von Trapps had become kind of local celebrities in Austria, touring the Austrian festival circuit. But eventually, the Trapp family choir goes international, singing in Canada, the U.S., and Italy. But at the same time, the Von Trapps are gaining momentum as a musical act, as Villa Von Trapp is thriving, the Third Reich is taking over Europe. In 1948, the Von Trapps would even meet Adolf Hitler when they were performing in Munich. But the family would not engage with Hitler or the Third Reich. In fact, rumor had it that the Von Trapps turned down a singing gig at Hitler's birthday party. And yet, celebrity has its perks, namely that they remained alive and safe. But it was definitely getting far more dangerous for even the world-famous Von Trapp family. Quote, "If you said no to Hitler, it was the end for you, regardless of whether you were a Jew or Christian. And my father said no to Hitler 3 times. He refused to fly the Nazi flag outside his home. He refused to join the Nazi army. And he refused to sing to him," said Rosemary. "Therefore, we had no choice but to leave Austria." Due to their status as celebrities, the Von Trapps were able to escape to Italy, then to England, and eventually they put down roots in the United States. In 1942, the Von Trapps settled in Stowe, Vermont, in a new home, somewhat reminiscent of the Austrian landscape they had left behind. By 1947, the Von Trapps had renovated their house to become a unique and pretty gigantic ski lodge, opening their doors to visitors from all over the world, recording albums and singing together. It was idyllic, especially in the shadow of their old home, which was occupied at the time by Nazis. The book that Maria Von Trapp wrote has a happy ending. But of course, the Von Trapps continued their lives, thinking of both past and future, with a couple speed bumps in between. In 1957, the Von Trapp family singers officially disbanded. The children went away to lead their own lives while Maria stayed at the lodge. Sadly, a fire decimated the original structure in 1980. A new structure was built in the same location, opening in 1983, which you can still see and stay in today. Eventually, Maria wrote her memoir, which was adapted into a stage show, and then the now iconic Tony Award-winning musical, The Sound of Music. And in 1965, the film adaptation, The Sound of Music, was released and became a commercial and critical success, winning 5 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. For decades now, audiences have been captivated and inspired by the Von Trapps' strength and resilience. The Von Trapp family, who still own their Vermont lodge, have expanded their home into a busy hotel with walking trails, memorabilia, and even a tavern open to the public. The whole place is lined with photos and memorabilia of the Von Trapps' history, including their original house, Villa Von Trapp, a story overall that defied so many odds, complete with its own, in my experience and opinion, happy ending. But while the Von Trapps' Vermont house was happy, had a good energy, one of resilience and family, their villa in Austria had a completely different reputation, one that Julie Andrews herself called evil. More after this break. Like the Von Trapps' Vermont Lodge, the Villa Von Trapp back in Salzburg, Austria, where the Von Trapps lived from 1923 to 1938, also functions as a working hotel. It's close to the Salzburg parks, has Wi-Fi, you can take classes, get room service, and all of the amenities at a hotel. So I'm going to show you some pictures of it. You tell me what you think of this. So we're looking at Villa Trapp, again, not where The Sound of Music was filmed, but where the Von Trapp family lived for the beginning of their journey. Would you stay there? Does it feel welcoming? What's the vibe?
It seems like very, like, Swiss and European, and
kind of cozy. I mean, I cozy, was like, yeah. I don't know. I thought it was like a little cozy, nothing like crazy. Like when I think of like a giant palatial Austrian estate, I don't think of this. I think
no,
this is like kind of chalet.
Yeah. Yeah. The getaway.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a fun place if you're on a budget kind of a thing. Not something that you'd think, again, with the movie being filmed somewhere gigantic and grandiose, I kind of ascribed it to their actual home, but that's not the case. So like I mentioned earlier, the Von Trapps called the villa home from 1923 until they fled Nazi-occupied Austria in 1938. The family was, again, for the record, vehemently anti-Nazi. Georg von Trapp was a monarchist, believing in the old Habsburg Empire. Von Trapp refused to fly the Nazi flag on his house, disengaged with Nazi politics, and more. There was fear, though, that the Von Trapp neighbors would be spying on them, and even perhaps that their vulnerable singing children would become brainwashed by Nazi politics. Eventually, it got to be too dangerous, so the Von Trapps fled Villa Von Trapp, leaving Austria. So eventually, the Von Trapps fled, leaving Austria and their beloved villa behind. But before he left, Georg arranged for the Villa Von Trapp to be sold to the Missionaries of the Precious Blood, an Italian Catholic missionary community who would use the villa as a hub. But the Nazis had other plans. After they left, Heinrich Himmler himself moved into the villa, explained Craig Platt in a piece about the villa published in Traveler magazine. Platt heard from the building manager Christopher Unterkofer that Himmler, one of the most powerful men of the Third Reich, made the house into a living fortress. As you might remember from history books, Himmler, more than perhaps any single member of the Nazi Party, was responsible for Hitler's reign of terror inside Germany and its occupied territories. He was one of the founding architects of the Final Solution, the Nazi program for exterminating the Jews and other marginalized groups. Himmler's motives for choosing the Villa von Trapp are unclear, but what he did to the place showed his paranoia, sociopathy, and beyond that, abject cruelty. The house was surrounded by armed guards and barbed wires. A barracks for the SS was built in the garden. He even built a secret underground bunker on premises. But most heartbreakingly, Himmler built a sinister white wall that still surrounds the property today. This wall has its own horrific story. A servant who worked in the villa before, during, and after Himmler's time lived to tell and share his experience of the wall, and he did to the National Catholic Reporter. Person said that Himmler conscripted slave labor to build the wall, and then, perhaps fearing security breaches, had all of the laborers shot after it was complete. After World War II ended, the property was in fact transferred by ownership to the Missionaries of the Precious Blood, as the Von Trapps intended. Despite its heavy history, the missionaries got much satisfaction in knowing that the Von Trapps resisted the Nazi Party. Quote, "What Himmler did here is a heavy weight on the house," Friar Andreas Hassenberger told the National Catholic Reporter, "but we are also proud to live in the Von Trapp house, house of the man who said no to the Führer. The house of the man who said no to the Führer." Although Himmler died in British custody, Unterkofer said that the priest that moved in after the war realized that he wasn't entirely gone. They reported hearing the incessant creaking of the boots of Himmler's ghost on the floorboards at night, a morbid, posthumous patrolling of sorts. The priests performed three exorcisms to get rid of his presence, but none were successful. In the end, some report that the ghost was finally driven away after some renovations were done to the hallway. The priests rented out the property in the 1990s, and it became a hotel in 2008. Now, guests can stay in rooms that belong to various members of the Von Trapp family and are labeled as such. While Villa Von Trapp, home to the real Von Trapp family, is not as grand or luxurious as the property used for the film, its reputation as a haunted house is an enduring. Its reputation as a fraught, haunted house is as enduring as its film pedigree. Years after the film was made, Julie Andrews herself decided to make a visit to Villa Von Trapp. During that visit, Andrews said to BuzzFeed, quote, "she could feel the evil that once permeated those walls." So, having not seen the film, knowing this history, does that change anything? Does it make you want to see the film again? Are you curious? Do you want to stay away? Would you stay at the Villa Von Trapp?
Every time there's a conversation about something, it makes me want to see it more. It's just how long after. So by the, you know, we record this and then I go sit there and I edit it and I'll be all hyped up.
Mm-hmm.
But what will get in my way? Like, and then I won't watch it and I'll just end up rewatching Entourage instead of expanding my mind, even the slightest, if anything, I'm looking to contract it. So that's part of the thing. But I absolutely would love to stay there. I actually got I wouldn't say arrested, but I'll say detained in Austria.
So you have fond memories of it.
Yeah, I was briefly detained. I think I was like a merch person for a band and we were on tour.
It
was the 90s. It was crazy, but we were detained. And I remember being in like a kind of like a holding thing in Austria.
Yeah. So you don't have
time in prison in Austria, will I let that trigger me? No.